My name is Nate Mickle. You're listening to Mickles and Dimes Layer 2, where every interview is dedicated to the simple, the practical, and the underappreciated. Frank Blake is the former CEO and chairman of Home Depot, where he led a massive company turnaround during his tenure. Frank's other leadership positions include serving as board member at Delta, general counsel at GE, general counsel for the EPA, deputy secretary for the U.S. Department of Energy, deputy counsel to Vice President George H.W. Bush, and law clerk for Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens. Frank earned an undergraduate degree from Harvard and a law degree from Columbia. I hope you enjoy learning from Frank Blake today, because I certainly did. Frank, it's so great to connect today. I came across your podcast, Crazy Good Turns, thanks to a mutual guest we've had, Dan Heath. And so it's so great to connect with you today.
Yeah, Dan is terrific. I'm glad you listened to the episode with him, and glad you're a fan of his. He's well worth listening to and reading.
It's interesting. We fell in love with Dan about the same time when Made to Stick was released. And I love that book. I read all his books. I try to apply so many of his topics. And so it was cool to see that connection that you had with him. And then the more, of course, I started learning about your work, I just thought it would be so fun to talk with you. And so, Frank, as you think back on your experience in leadership, do you have any experience, something you learned that you would most want to share with others?
Thanks for the question, Nate. It's a great question. I do. So a little bit of background on myself for people who might listen to this. I was the CEO of Home Depot for 8 years. Before becoming CEO, I have to say I never thought I would be a CEO. I didn't think much about leadership, and I didn't have a theory of the case on how to lead an organization, never mind an organization as large as Home Depot, which at the time was around 400,000 associates, employees, and now it's 500,000. I won't describe how I got to this conclusion, but my conclusion from the 8 years is the single most unappreciated tool that leaders have is their own recognition and gratitude expressed to the people who are working for them. And doing that in a way that is memorable for the people that you're recognizing and celebrating. So as a leader, you have a point of view of what you want folks to do. And when you stop and think about how do I express what do I want from the people who work for me, I came to the conclusion, and I believe it's true because I saw it over 8 years, was the way you express that is you literally or figuratively bring somebody or some people up to the stage and say, let me tell you a story about what Joe or Jane did and why it is so great. And there are lots of different forms of recognition and celebration. That's just one form. I did lots of different forms, but is that tying of a specific story to what it is that you want that does a couple of things. The first is it's memorable. So if I tell a story about what someone did, in Home Depot's case, I spent a lot of time recognizing and celebrating great customer service. If I just say to somebody, I want you to provide great customer service, that sort of vaporizes instantaneously. Yeah. If I give a story around great customer service, everyone understands that. They understand, okay, now I think I understand what Frank wants me to do. And it becomes reinforcing because the stories reinforce themselves. Somebody in the audience is saying, gosh, I do that all day long. I don't think Frank knows that. And so people start talking about what they're doing and it reinforces itself and you gain real momentum within an organization. My phrasing on this is every business leader knows the sentence of you get what you measure, which is very true. In a business, it's hard to make progress along any vector if you haven't figured out how to measure it and how to determine whether you're making progress. My corollary is you get what you recognize and celebrate. So show me what an organization recognizes and celebrates. and I will show you what that organization does and how it behaves. And more often than not, leaders are unintentional and undisciplined about how they recognize and celebrate their employees.
This is just fantastic. And I've got a number of thoughts. One of my very first experiences with the power of recognition was during my postdoc. I did a postdoc at Notre Dame. And our department chair there was a man named Craig Crossland. And every week, Craig would write a newsletter that would celebrate everybody's accomplishments.
There you go.
And it was incredible. I mean, and Craig was just, he was one of the best leaders I've ever had. And so much of his job was just celebrating people's accomplishments. Now, I've wondered if that was in an academic department with maybe, you know, 40, 50 people.
Works anywhere.
But to hear you describe it and the impact that it had on Home Depot with 400,000 people, to me, that just shows how powerful it is. And then the other thought I had that I think is so great is one of the other best leaders that I know. He's the president of a company that owns about, they got about 20,000 employees and own about 700 restaurants. And whenever I interact with him, he tells stories.
Yeah.
Everything is a story. Yeah. Every conversation is a story. Every leadership meeting is a story. And so when I teach my students, we talk about the power of storytelling. And this also kind of goes back to Made to Stick, where Dan Heath talks about how stories are memorable. And so I try, in every podcast I ever create, I try to share stories. Whenever I have a guest on, I ask them, you know, in my email, like, please think of a story you can share. And so it's so cool to hear you tie these two things together. You get what you recognize and celebrate.
Yeah.
And then you do it through storytelling.
Yeah. So I will give you just one background comment on why I came to that was I'm new to the job as CEO, and I think about the great leaders for whom I've had the privilege to work. And one of them was George H.W. Bush. And I worked for him when he was vice president, which was a really great experience because the vice president's staff is quite small. No one cares about the vice president. So you can see, what does this person actually do? George Bush, every day, he would start the day. Now, you got to go, I'm very old. So this goes back to 1981. People still have typewriters. And he would start every day spending an hour typing out notes, personal notes. And you knew it was his typewriter because the E wouldn't exactly align and stuff like that. But he'd spend his time writing notes. And when, as a staff member, you got a note from the vice president, you walked on air.
Yeah.
And I ended my time working for the vice president thinking I would walk through walls for this person. And subsequently in life, what I noticed was that power of sending notes, writing notes. When I was CEO at Home Depot, every Sunday, I would spend half a day on Sunday writing 200 handwritten personal notes to associates in Home Depot, thanking them for something, that specific example of something they had done for great customer service. So it'd be, dear Joe or Jane, I heard that you did, and I would give the specific and I would say, you're awesome. Thank you, Frank. And I know that those had an impact. And the first example of this was within a month or so, I'm walking a Home Depot store and an associate comes up to me and says, you know, I got a note from you. Thank you very much. Would you mind sending it to me again? Would you mind writing it out again? And I said, yeah, sure, no problem. But why? And he said, well, I got this note and we were all looking at it and we decided they had to have been robo-penned.
Yeah.
So we put it under water and the ink ran, so I need a new one. It is just surprise people by thanking them and do it in a specific way.
So I was just telling you before we hit record that I just recently interviewed Andy Reid, who just won the Super Bowl, incredible leader. And he talked about, he said, you know, his key to leadership is being honest, staying calm, and being consistent. And I think that's all important. But then what he did the whole interview was just talk about how much he loves Travis Kelce, how much he loves Powell, how much he loves his players. And I thought, you know, I think that's the real key here, Andy, is that you love the people. And so, Frank, when you take a Sunday afternoon and you spend hours every week just showing people how much you love them, appreciate them, you're celebrating them, recognizing them, you know, what an incredible lesson on leadership for anybody who wants to be there, who I teach leadership, and many of the students are concerned about their ability to lead. And so I think you are such a great example of somebody who figured it out by learning from others. And then this lesson you're sharing is just so easy to underappreciate how massively powerful it can be.
Absolutely. I'll give you one other note just to end on. And that is, for the people who are nervous about being a leader, and I was one of those, the other value of doing this is I use my baseball card analogy. So when I would hang out at a baseball park and get the cards signed by the ball players, you know, by and large, the people who would hang around and sign the cards of little kids would be the utility infielders who never saw time playing. But when I had that card signed by that player, I wanted to root for that player.
Yeah, you're a fan.
So somebody who takes the time to recognize me, I'm already invested in them because they've invested in me. So it's a good lesson.
I love the story. I love the lesson. Frank, this is just, you far exceeded any expectation I could have ever had for somebody I just emailed out of the blue, especially. I
love people who email out of the blue. Well done.
Well, thank you. It was so great to learn from someone who has had such an amazing career in so many different fields as well. We talked off air just a little bit about the legal background as well, which is a whole other experience and career. So many amazing things you've been able to accomplish. And I just love you take the time to share these fantastic lessons with me and listeners today. So thanks so much, Frank Blake.
Thank you, Nate.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mickles and Dimes with Frank Blake. What a great leadership lesson Frank shared, a lesson he learned by working for George H.W. Bush. The single most underappreciated tool that leaders have is the recognition and gratitude they can express to people working for them, and doing it in a way that is memorable for the people who are recognized and celebrated. For Frank, that meant recognizing people by bringing them up on stage and telling stories about them that demonstrated great customer service, or by writing 200 handwritten personal notes every Sunday thanking people for the specific things they had done. Just as kids will root for the athletes who take time to sign autographs, Frank generated support from his team by writing them personal letters of recognition. And in the spirit of Frank's lesson, I want to recognize the team at Mickles and Dimes. My daughter Kyla manages all the social media, updates the website each week, and sends out the newsletter each week. You're the best, Kyla. And my son, Bennett, has marketed the podcast to thousands of people. You're the best too, Bennett. And big thanks to my wife, Keisha, who listens to every episode. I love you all. In summary, don't underestimate the power of recognition and storytelling. It's a simple idea. Please take it seriously. Nate Mickle here with two final requests. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to Mickles and Dimes and give this podcast a 5-star review on your preferred podcast player. Thanks for your support.